Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 2. This is the third to last book of the Old Testament. Zephaniah is contemporary with Jeremiah and Nahum and Habakkuk. And he actually is of some royal seed himself. And we're going to work on him just a little bit more this morning. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 2. And we have a baby dedication today. I have a little blue Bible here, and it's got the name Luca on it. And so, is Luca in the house? Somewhere. Okay. What are you, Nona? Okay. And you, Brother Joe, are? No. You got to get the, no. Yeah. And no. You should forgive me for the pronunciation there because, you know, I'm just a lowly Gentile. I'm not an Italian. So we're going to dedicate Luca today, which means we're going to be saying some really hard things to Oswaldo. And so we'll let Luca and his entourage come up after service and we'll have prayer for him. And it's a wonderful thing to dedicate children to the house of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 2. Speaking of Jerusalem, who he calls a filthy, oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. Everybody say, she obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. These indictments come from the mouth of God. And so they are salient and they are specific. And they are a fairly good analysis of what a backslider does on his or her way out of the house of God. But I'm not so much interested because we've talked about Israel and Judah and her failing and her leaving God and all the paganization, and we've talked about all of that. But rather today I'd like to take these systematic steps, these things that Judah does to leave God, and I'd like to turn them around, and I'd like to talk about how you can come to God. Because the door you walk out of is the door you walk into. And the way that you walk out is the way that you walk back in. And Luca's not a backslider, but if it'll work for a backslider, it'll work for a little kid that's raised up in the house of God. So we'll be talking about that today, Brother Oswaldo. So as you're seated, if you love God and you love his word, let's give him thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, God. We praise your name. We lift you up, O God. And we worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. And so Zephaniah is preaching to the people before they go into captivity. And this would be the late 600s or in the latter part of the 7th century B.C. And God gives us a summary here of Judah's position or Judah's character in the kingdom of God in chapter 1 and verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, thank you, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. God said, I'm coming to Jerusalem and I'm going to punish this place and everyone that is in it. I'm going to search it out with candles. There won't be a corner you can hide in. I'll find you there. You're just sitting on your rear and you're not serving God. That's what sitting on your lees means. You've taken a seat and you've checked out of the game. And he said, this is their mentality. They say the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. They just said, God is not even in the equation. I get up, I go to work, I do my thing, I live my life, I sin my sin, sing my song, whatever I want to do. But I want you to know, God is not involved. And that's where the people of God have gotten to the place where they've pushed God out of their mind and driven him out of their feelings and out of their thoughts. They don't want to think about God anymore. And so they just say, listen to me. God is not here. He's not going to do a work, either good or evil. And they factored him out of their equation. Now, in the third chapter and verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me. This is God speaking. Thou wilt receive instruction. So their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punish them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. God said, I'm beyond myself. He said, I've done everything imaginable to these people. But howsoever, in any way that I punish them, it had no effect. They got up early and went about perverting their ways. They got up early. They didn't sleep in. Sin was a priority to them. Paganizing their culture and their families was a priority to them. And so this is the state of Israel. They corrupt all their doings. And they are literally bent on corruption and on destruction because of it. Praise God. So then we go to our text here, chapter 3 and verse 2, and God gives us an analysis of how Israel got to where she is. He said, she obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she didn't trust in the Lord, and she drew not near unto God. That's an analysis of where Judah was in the reading here in Zephaniah. And so we see that this is the way that you leave God. You get to the place where you don't hear his voice anymore. You get to the place where you're not open to correction from the word of God or from the voice of God anymore. You're standing in a place where you don't really trust God and you don't draw near unto God. And these are powerful steps along the way. Now, what I want to introduce to you today, or what I'd like for us to do, is just to take an overview of this and turn this around. Brother Oswaldo, what I would like to do is say first, if a backslider wanted to come back or a brand new person wanted to come to God, these steps in reverse would make a pretty good systematic process for coming to a relationship with God. First, you draw near to God. And by doing so, you learn to trust God. And surely, when we get into the presence of God, he always corrects us. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And then we get to the place where we're able to hear the voice of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is there anybody here that does and you're glad that you hear the voice of God? Is there anybody that hears from God and you're glad that you can hear from, and you remember a time when you could not hear from God, or you've gone through some dry places where you weren't able to hear from God, but now God wakes you up in the middle of the night and God breathes into your heart while you're on the job and God ministers to you in your spirit? Well, praise God. And so we're glad to be able to hear. Now, you'll fail a psychological exam. If you, on a psychological exam, say, I hear from God, God talks to me, and I talk to God, you will fail. It's just because our world doesn't think like that anymore. But everybody that's glad that you can hear from God, clap your hands and give him praise today. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to invert this backsliders sequence because I'm tired of talking about how backslidden Judah and Israel were. I'm tired of talking about their sin, and I'm tired of talking about how far away from God they were. Talk today about how to come to God. Everybody say, draw near unto God. In this spiritual sequence of coming into a relationship with God, first, just draw near. Just draw near to God. Some Bible scholar tell me, what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned in the garden? Genesis chapter 3. They hid from God. They got off the trail wherever they and God had been walking, and they hid themselves. But answer me this, can you hide from God? No, turn to your neighbor and say, you are an idiot if you think you can hide from God. Because only idiots think they can hide from God. But it's amazing that people think they can hide from God. But you can't, because God is everywhere, and God sees, and God knows. Look, it's over. It's done. God already knows about you. You can fool your mama, and you can fool your husband, and you can fool your wife, and you might fool a bald-headed preacher, but you can't fool God. So the first thing in our list is come near to God. Adam and Eve, don't hide from God. Hide in God. Come to God. Let's do a little theological research on this as to why people hide from God or think that they can hide from God. Are you good for that? It's okay. We do a little Bible study this morning. Can you help me, Brother Randy? John chapter 3 and verse 16. And everybody say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should, not shall, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is invested. God has already invested himself. He's already given himself. He's already paid the price for you. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Tell your neighbor, God has not come to condemn you. Come on, tell your neighbor, God loves you. Tell somebody, God came from heaven and gave himself a ransom for you. Come on, if you're hiding from God, you don't need to do that anymore. You need to get up from where you are, and you need to come to God. Brother Ozzie, you need to raise this baby to know that he never needs to be afraid to come to God. The fear of the Lord, according to the word of God, is respect for God. But he never needs to fear God in the way that he's afraid to come into the presence of God. With all of his cargo and with all of his sin and every failing and every mistake, he always needs to know that he can come to God. Now you now are God in his life. You are authority in his life. And authority works like this. God, Christ, the man, the lowly woman, and the child. And so whatever he sees of God and knows of God is going to come through you. At least in these early days, it's going to be filtered through you. And even when he's an old man, if God tarries, some of that authority and some of that dealing with God will always be in some degree tempered by you and your relationship to him. You make his way into the kingdom of God easier when you well represent the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to talk about correction in a little bit, and you may have to spank him once at least. Don't speak. I find that little balsa sticks and spoons are wonderful. But he always needs to know the reason why, and he needs to know that this punishment is not terminal. And he needs to know that even while you're spanking him, that you love him. And afterwards, he needs to be enfolded in your arms and needs to know that you care about him. He never ever needs to just to have an indiscriminate bashing. Never needs that. And he never needs to have screaming tirades without a lot of love and explanation afterwards. Okay? He said, okay. He has big eyes. He's listening. Okay. Go ahead. God didn't come to condemn the world. You got that? Verse 18. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that doesn't believe is condemned already. Because this is the only way you get out of condemnation is coming to God. Now, verse 19. And this, everyone say, this is the condemnation of the world. This is where you get in the crack. This is where you get in trouble. This is where you get condemned. This is the condemnation of the world, that light has come and men love darkness rather than light. Why do men love darkness? If you're going to have a great big party and you're going to invite all your drinking buddies and a lot of girls to come to this party, fellas, you're going to have it at noon, right? Broad daylight. When do all the heavy hitting parties go on? After midnight. Why is that? The Bible says, because men love darkness. Men like to hide in the dark. The quality of your character is demonstrated by what you do when people are watching. No. The quality of your character is demonstrated by what you do when you know nobody's ever going to find out. Men love darkness. And they can put on a show, but what they really are will be revealed in the light. So they don't want to. How many of you have ever been to a bar room in your life before you loved God and served God? Brother Scales, I'm appalled and ashamed of you. You've been in bar rooms and they were all lit up like this, right? Bright lights. Dark and smoky. And you were just there with your Bible to win the loss to God, right? No, that's not why any of us were there. We were there hiding with the rest of the sinners, hiding from God, if you really got down to it. Because that's why you drink, and that's why you shoot up, and that's why you snort, and that's why you do the drugs. Because you don't want to remember your condition in God. And that's why you go to dark places. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You know, if you turned on all the lights in that bar room, the roaches would be running and all the sinners would be running. Roaches and sinners have a lot in common. They both love the dark. That's right. And it doesn't matter if it's in a blues joint or a honky tonk or a cowboy bar or down here at the Rolling Thunder, which is a Harley bar full of overaged, really mixed up people that think it's still 1968, but it ain't. But if, you know, the cowboy is at the bar and the cowgirl is at the bar and he thinks she's beautiful and he's telling her about himself. Like, honey, I'll take you places. And she thinks he's handsome. Oh, you just say the most wonderful things. But when you turn the lights on, she's not who he thought she was. And he sure isn't what either of them thought he was. And people wonder how Jacob woke up with Leah. People don't pay attention. People don't get their minds on stuff and they don't pay attention. And that you can get in trouble in the dark. And people love the dark. And God can't get to you in the dark. But condemnation comes because men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. Somebody say praise God. Well, I don't want to go to church. It's because your deeds are evil. I don't want to hear the word of God because your deeds are evil. So what we got to do is make a connection in his little mind and cause him to understand that God is light. He dwells in unapproachable light. In him there is light and no shadow of turning. He is the source of light. And so you want to do business to God, you got to get all of these sinful ways out of your life. And so you don't want him to have a lot of cargo in his mind, so he doesn't want to come into the presence of God. That's why you don't want to have things in your house that propagate Hollywood lifestyles and ungodly lifestyles and people sleeping around with other people and people having recreational sex and people doing all manner of things that are not like God. You don't want to have that in your house. Because little Luca will be sitting there watching that and thinking, this is what life is about. And this is how I will be. And this is, and they spend millions of dollars to captivate his attention. And so that's why you don't want to have a television in your house. That's why you don't want to bring worldly movies into your house. And that's why, well, there's five of you that think that's a good idea, but I'm telling you, that is the idea. You tell me you're serious about living for God and you've got Hollywood coming and preaching in your house every day and every night, I'll tell you, you have no serious bone in your body and you're not serious about your children either, because Hollywood is going to drag them down into hell. But why don't you let them come to God? Keep the clutter out of their life so when they walk in the house, they're not hiding from God. Keep the clutter out, so that they'll feel the liberty to come to God. Everybody say they need to come to God. Here's the condemnation of the world, that light has come and men love darkness rather than light. Verse 20, Brother Randy. Everybody say, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So you've got to keep evil out of your house, and you've got to keep evil out of your boy. That's right. Stand up, sir. You are the Levite of your house. You have a Bible there with you somewhere? Find one. Ah, thank you, my brother. Hold that Bible up. That's your sword. Levites had a sword. And a Levite would kill you if you tried to come in the temple and you weren't eligible to come into the temple. Levites protected the holy things and they protected the priest. Praise God. And so that's your sword. And you stand up on your chair there. Hold that. Don't fall, please. You are the Levite for your home and for your family. You're positioned at the door to say what can come in and what cannot come in. You're positioned at the door with the sword of God to say what kind of house this is going to be. And you'll tell Luca as he's growing up, you'll say, that's not happening in my house. That's not coming in my house. We're not living. Well, Johnny does that. That's Johnny's house, but this is our house. You're the Levite. That's the sword. You're the keeper of the gate. You're the keeper of the door. Somebody say, praise the Lord. La espada de Dios en su mano es poderoso de Dios en su casa. And that's all my Spanish. ¿Entiende, todos? Bien. It's your job. That's exactly right. I knew that. Oswaldo translates every Monday at our Bible study. So it's just, he's probably translating right now as I speak. They need to come into the presence of God. The first step in undoing this backsliding business is come into God's presence. Come into his presence. Don't be afraid of God. But God loves you. Everybody say, God loves you. Come into the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 1 is just very simple. He said, He said, if I've divorced you, where is the writing of your mother's divorcement? And if I sold you, where is the bill of sale to your creditors? He said, it's your sin and it's your transgression that has separated you from God. Your sin will separate you from God. That is a recurrent theme throughout the Word of God. You've got to get the sin out of the house if you want children to come to God. And you've got to get the sin out of your life if you want to come back to God. So come into the presence of God. Backsliders leave because they choose sin. They embrace sin. And then it gets too heavy to bear in the presence of God or in the light. And so they run from the light and they look for somewhere to hide. And they usually blame it on somebody around them, or blame it on a loved one, or blame it on the preacher, or blame it on the house, or blame it on the church. But it's because you've got sin in your life that you had to leave the house of God. Luca needs to come to God. And he needs to come first by drawing near to God. The Bible said if you draw near to God, that God will draw near unto you. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 3. We may have to do a morning and an evening dedication here, Oswaldo. Can you dress up and put the dress on the kid again tonight? Oh, I'm sorry, the dedication gown. Did I just start trouble? No, no, no. Zechariah chapter 3. Babies look beautiful. Doesn't matter what you put on them. All right. Zechariah 3 and verse 1. Sorry, Brother Randy. He's saying, what verse? Joshua, the high priest. This is when Israel comes back out of captivity and they are going back into Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild their culture before God. And so Joshua is the high priest, and he's standing before the presence of God, and Satan is at his right hand to resist him. His right hand is a hand of power. And so Satan is at his right hand to say, you can't do this. You can't come into the presence of God. You're not worthy to stand here in the presence of God. But Joshua knows something. He knows that no matter what your burden of sin is, the only remedy is to get it into the presence of God. So what do you do if you've got sin in your life? You got to come to God. What do you do if you fail miserably and spiritually? You got to come to God. What do you do if you corrupt yourself in every relationship that you have? You've got to come back to God. This thing begins with you coming to God. Listen to me. God's already done everything he's going to do. He's already opened the door. He's already shed the blood. He's already made the provision. He's already made the promises. Now you got to come to God. Well, what do I do when I fail? You come back to God. What do I do when I fall? You've got to come back to God. What do I do when I've been a backslider? You got to come back to God. And for little bitty babies and children and new folks in the house of God, your first job is just come in this place and get in the presence of God. Get in the worship. Get in the prayer. Come down to the altar. Clap your hands when it's time to clap. Dance a little bit. You say, I don't even know what that's about. I'm telling you, just do what the people of God do and you'll fast track into the presence of God. But you need to come. You need to come in the presence of God. The Lord said to Satan, now, did God speak to Joshua? No. Satan came with Joshua to say, you can't come in here. You're not worthy to come in here. And God didn't even talk to Joshua. God turned his eyes on Satan. Praise God. Anybody got a devil that's tormenting you? A lying demon that's been speaking to your mind? Somebody, some voice from another world that's been telling you that you can't live for God? You know what you need to do? Bring them down to an altar. Bring them into the middle of a red hot worship service. Bring them into the house of God. Because God will do business with your adversary if you'll just come to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So bring all your trouble, bring all your problems. And God turned to Satan and said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Even the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, the Lord rebuke you. And then he begins to talk to Joshua. To Satan, he says, this is a brand that I've plucked out of the fire. Praise God. How does God look at backsliders? How does God look at backsliders? He said, it may be burned, it may be smoky, and you may not see the value in it, but I pulled it out of the fire. I can do something with this. If God's pulled you out of the fire, you're a backslider made new again. You ought to give God a little praise right now. If you walked away from God and God gave you another open door and another chance, you ought to praise God right now. My God, you're not nearly as excited about that as you ought to be. God gave you a new day. God gave you a new chance. If you're a backslider that came back, tell somebody by you, I'm a brand that was plucked out of the fire. I'm a little rough, a little stanky, but God sees something he can use. My God, isn't he a good God? Isn't he a good God? Verse 3, Brother Randy. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Filthy garments in the Bible are indicative of sin or backsliding. And now God encounters and deals with the sin in Joshua's life. God's going to deal with your sin. Make no mistake about it. He will deal with your sin, but he'll do it lovingly and he'll do it kindly and he'll do it with a solution in mind. And he always does it with your good in mind. God will always deal with your sin. So he deals with the sin here. Was that what you were afraid of? That God was going to deal? You ought to be afraid if God's not going to deal with your sin. You ought to be afraid if God's just going to let you run pell-mell into hell without the hand of God's mercy in your life. You ought to be glad that God's... Where are you going with that big smile on your face? I'm going to the house of God and God's going to forgive me. Where are you going with that joy all over you? I'm going to the house of my Father and my Father's going to embrace me there and he's going to cleanse me from everything I've ever been that wasn't like God. Praise God. Luca needs to know, you can't go so far, you can't sin so badly that God won't take you back. Today is the day to come back to God. Today is the day to start all over again. Today is the day where you say, I'm going to start the process, and the process starts with me coming into the presence of God. I'm going to draw nigh to him. But you're a mess. I'm bringing my mess to God. But you're all broken and twisted. I'm bringing my brokenness and my twistedness into the presence of God. But you've got so much baggage. I'm bringing all my baggage into the house of God. And God has paid the price, and God's going to take care of me. Watch what he does for Joshua. He was clothed with filthy garments. Now he is a representative person. He's representing all of Israel. And they all have sinned. And they stand before the angel of God. Verse 4. And God answered and spoke to the angels nearby and said, take away his filthy garments. Did he rail at him and fuss at him? Did he scream at him and slap him around with a big divine hand? How long did it take God to get rid of the sin? How long does it take God to get you in a position to begin your growth curve in the kingdom of God? Just that long. You can start right now. You can start today. You can start all over. You can start for the very first time. But the primary thing is to start. Let's get the thing started. Let's get ourselves on track here. Let's come into the presence of God. I don't want to hear the excuses. Come on into the presence of God. I don't want to hear all the reasons why not. I want you to come into the presence of God. Luca needs to know that no matter what, he can always make his way into the house of God. I've seen people come to the house of God and they wouldn't worship because they were condemned about their behavior. But God knows all. What do you think you're hiding? God knows all about it. You better worship. What does worship do? Worship brings me into the presence of God. I've seen people that felt condemned and they wouldn't pray. They didn't want to talk to God because they were afraid of what he might say or just ashamed of what they had done. But what is prayer? Prayer is coming into the presence of God. So you don't need to hang up your prayer life and your worship. My God, the day you sin is the day you ought to worship God with all your might. The day you sin is the day you ought to begin a prayer life that you've never had before. Come into the presence of God. So, Brother Oswaldo, you got to teach him how to pray. And you got to teach him how to worship God. And he's going to watch you. And the first times he learns to worship and praise God will be on the end of your hand. And you'll be dancing and praising with him. And he'll be worshiping. And he'll grow up to think this is the most normal and natural thing in the world. And he will associate the presence and the feeling of the power of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost with that worship. And he is right, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and tell him we've got to get into the presence of God. We've got to come to God. Praise God. Don't be afraid. God went into the house of a tax collector. And when he came out, the tax collector had changed his mind and his heart and his ways. God sat down on a well with a woman that had had five husbands and was shacked up. God's not afraid of your sin. He comes with mercy and he comes with love. And it doesn't matter how twisted and tangled your story has become. It's time to get it right. It's time to get it better. But you can't get it better on your own. That old business about, when I get it all together, then I'll come to God. Or I'll get good and then I'll come to God. You can't do that on your own. You've got to bring all of your damaged parts into the presence of God and let God take care of it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Psalms 95, 7 and 8, he said, you need to hear God. And you can hear God if you will not harden your heart. If you'll just lift up, I want everybody in the house right now, just lift up your hands. This is just a workshop. Lift up your hands. The Bible said, I'll lift up my hands in the sanctuary. This is how David prayed. And I want you to just tell God, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to draw close to you. I want to stand and live in your presence. Praise God. Are you telling him that? Come on, lift up your voice and tell him. God, I want to draw close to you. You don't have to say exactly what I say. Just talk to him right now. I want to stand in your presence, God. Hallelujah. You know what you're doing? That is a universal sign, not only of praise, but that's a universal sign of surrender. You're just saying, I surrender. Everything I am, everything that's not good about me, I surrender it all to you, oh God. If while you have your hands there, why don't you just confess your sins? God, I'm a sinner before you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to forgive me for everything I've been that's not like God. Just wash me right now, God. The Word of God declares if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. The fourth thing, and because of that, the first thing that we covered here today was come into the presence of God. Israel would not draw nigh to God. But it's the first thing we have to do in order to get it right and to get it better. The second thing has to do with trust. They wouldn't trust the Lord. And we're not going to press into this very far here. Today, we're going to stop right now, actually. Yep. But just coming to God, Oswaldo. Just coming to God. Luca's going to be walking along beside you. You're going to be coming into the house of God. And he's going to say, well, it looks like a big storm's coming. Shouldn't we maybe ought to hide under the bed? And you're going to say, no, Luca, God's going to take care of us. And when he gets old enough to read, he's going to read the headlines. Economy in disaster. We're all going to die. Sell your clunker now. Oh, they ran out of money. And you're going to say, no, Luca, we don't have to be afraid, because God is our source and God is our supply. And when he sees you coming to God, and when he hears your affirming statements about God, one, I don't know when it'll happen, but there'll be a day where a little decision will be made in his mind, and a little thought will surface in his mind, and it will say, "My dad, what's he going to call you? Papi. Is he going to call you Papi? No, Papi. Mommy." That's easy. He's going to say, "My Papi trusts God." And as he's walking with you into the house of God, he's going to say, "We trust God." And when his little friends at school say, "There's a storm coming. Maybe we should hide under the beds." He'll say, "No, we trust God. God takes care of storms." Trust begins by coming into the presence of God. You inculcate trust by simply making the decision and taking the action to come and to bring your family into the house of God. You teach trust. You exemplify trust, and it begins to grow. The third charge of God against Israel was that they didn't trust God. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Trust is something that makes you vulnerable. You can't trust and not be vulnerable. But the position of the cross is not defensive. If you've been living like this, you don't trust very much. If you're like this with your husband and with your wife, you don't trust very much. And if you're like this in your house with your kids, and that's the climate in your house, angry words and balled up fists and shouting, but not Holy Ghost shouting, that's not a high trust culture. But the position of the cross is, that's dangerous. Some houses, that'll get your jaw broken. But that speaks trust, Sister Mary. It's so good to see Sister Mary in the house today. But we teach trust and we exemplify trust. And as we do that, trust is something that grows and it builds. And we'll work on it some more tonight. But it begins with coming into the presence of God and making affirming statements about the things of God. Taking yourself in charge. When you want to whine and to grovel like a woman, no disrespect to the women in the house, just for a man, that's not a thing he ought to do. What I mean by that is, come here. When you pray, it can't be, "Oh God, we're dying down here." You understand? It can't, your prayer can't be a declaration of desperation in terms of fear. "I don't know what we're going to do. I'm so afraid." But an affirming statement. Now, if you think I'm picking on you in your prayer, and you think I'm telling you not to be transparent in your prayer, I'm telling you to be biblical in your prayer. Jehoshaphat stood before God. Since you're here, I'll use you. And he held his wife by his hand and their little children. And he said, "We have no strength, neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." It's okay. If you want to acknowledge your weakness, that's a good thing. If you want to acknowledge your lack of capacity, that's a good thing. But don't ever come with hopelessness in your voice and imply that God is not able. Because Israel walked around in the wilderness and died there because trust never came out of their mouth. They were always saying, we're going to die in the wilderness. And everything's terrible here. And my life is awful. And I can't stand what we're doing now. And they were just totally negative every day of their lives. They had no trust in God and it never came out of their mouth. But when you open your mouth in front of that wife and in front of that baby, it needs to be, God is able. I may have no strength, but I know God has all strength. Let's stand together. I may not know what to do, but God knows exactly what to do. I may not have a plan, but God has a plan for every day of my life. Well, pray. I feel Holy Ghost in this house right now. For just a moment here, I need you, if you are a backslider, if you are in sin right now, if you are broken but you're afraid to come to God, you need to come to God right now, today. Holy Ghost, talk to me early this morning. You need to come to God today. You need to come and pray. Bow a knee or stand in this altar, lift up your hands and say, God, I'm bringing it all. I'm bringing all of my brokenness and all of my trouble and all of my sin. Everything I am that's not like you, I'm bringing it right now. We're going to dedicate Luca in a minute here, but we're going to take a minute. Come on, church, pray now. Do the work of the church. No spectators in the house. It starts by coming into the presence of God. You can undo a lifetime of backsliding by bringing yourself into the presence of God. Now, church, look, you need to get with somebody that's here. If you come to pray, lift up those hands. Come on, church. Find somebody here to lay your hands on, to pray with. Hallelujah. 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 Come on down close. Come on down close. Make room. There's people coming behind you. Hallelujah. Hey, a brand new day. A brand new day. Starting all over again. Drawing close to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Bring your trouble, bring your sin, bring your failure. Tell God all about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. There may be somebody right by you now that needs the Holy Ghost. Somebody that needs to pray. Everybody in this altar needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. Yeah, mighty God. Come on, church. Press in a little bit. Do the work of the church here. Come on, church. Praise the Lord. People are praying, church. People are praying.
Prince of Peace.
Maria's mama's talking in tongues. Hey, my God, we ought to give God praise. We ought to magnify and worship Him. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Praise God all over the house. Let's clap our hands and magnify Him and bless His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Brother Oswaldo, Sister Monia, bring that baby. And all of your family and support group there. If you're praying, go right on and pray. If you're talking in tongues, just go right on talking in tongues. This is an apostolic church. And even our formal situations should be shot through with things that are unexplainable and supernatural and powerful in the Spirit of God. So here we are, we're surrounded here by family and friends and grandparents and surrogate grandparents and tios and tias and cousins, primos, primas. All right. So I didn't finish the sermon. Didn't finish the service, you know, but you get the drift, right? So we have a Bible for Luca today, and it has his name on it, and it'll be a long time before he lays in his little bed and actually reads it. So you're going to have to bring him and exemplify this and teach this long before he ever sees it for himself and begins to operate. So by the time he's 5 or 6, you know, I don't know how long Jochebed had Moses, but whatever she did in him, when he was a 40-year-old man, he made a decision and said, I'm going to embrace the people of God. I'm going to live for God. You can put that in him. So I'm going to give you this Bible only if you'll agree and commit yourself before God and these witnesses that you're going to raise him up to be an apostolic, to know the truth, to love God, to love the preacher. Teach him what prayer is and what worship is and what an apostolic house should be like. You're going to do that? All right, I'm going to give you the Bible then. Praise God. Sister Monia, you're going to be a mama that exemplifies everything about living for God to him. You're going to teach him what it's all about to live for God. Well, I tell you, there is no greater plan in the scheme of God than what he did in the family, because Oswaldo becomes like God and you become like the church, and both of you put an indelible stamp on his life. And so we're gonna pray for you and for Luca and for Oswaldo this morning, and you're gonna raise him up to be an apostolic. If you backslide, we're gonna hunt you down. God bless you. Let's pray, church. Grandfather, grandmother, aunts and uncles, everybody here, lay your hands on them. Lord God, we love your ways and we appreciate your presence and the great privilege to serve you. We pray, God, your hand of blessing and strength on Oswaldo and Monia and on Luca today. Strengthen in body, strengthen in spirit. This baby is a miracle, baby. This baby is a miracle of your prophecy, oh God. I pray, God, you'd work your will and purpose here. Do the thing that pleases you. Cause their lives to be filled with abundance. Let the word of God come forth here in power. And Lord, help him to walk as long as you tarry, Lord. Help him to walk with wisdom and understanding in the kingdom of God. Give Oswaldo everything he needs, God, to raise this household up for the kingdom of God. I pray, God, that you'd lay your hand on Monia. Make her wise and make her strong in the kingdom of God. I pray for this baby right now by the name of Jesus. God's strength, God's blessing, God's anointing. And I pray it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let's give God thanks and magnify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. So good to see you in the Lord's house today. You want to be sure to come by here and give Luca the right hand of Christian fellowship. And choir practice is at 5:30 and an apostolic service at 6:30. We have prayer at 6 o'clock. And let's fill the house up with prayer before the service tonight. God bless you. Choir practice is 5:15.